This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As far as Kerryon Johnson is concerned, and for those who didn't hear the news, apparently Kerryon Johnson could be activated next week and play the last couple of games for the Lions, asking people whether or not they think that's a good move for the Lions, or should you just sit him out the rest of the year? Go ahead and activate Johnson, because I don't believe he's going to be around next year anyway. Injury-prone guy needs to be gone as well. Well, he's got to prove himself that he can stay healthy, and I don't know if it's best for him to try to do that next week or if it's best for him to try to do that next year. Gator, you said yourself the Lions probably need to draft the running back anyways. So if you already know that you need to draft one, why bring Kerryon on back for two meaningless games when you already know that he's injury-prone? You claim that they need to see what they got, but they already have the information that they need that tells them that they need another running back, so why do it? Well, because if he's healthy, that's why you do it. If you need a healthy running back, that's why you do it. And by all accounts, the Lions could use a healthy running back. Now, maybe this becomes a real obvious decision after the game on Sunday. If somebody else gets hurt, you absolutely need another running back on the roster. But what do they have right now? Bo Scarborough has been banged up in practice and hasn't participated a whole lot in practice. We'll see what the report says today. And I imagine he's going to play Sunday against Tampa Bay. But you got Ty Johnson, who's been banged up all season long, but still playing. And McKissick, who's basically a third down back. That's what they have. So I don't have a huge problem if Kerryon Johnson plays. I kind of roll my eyes because it seems like everybody's getting hurt on this team. Everybody's being put on IR and done for the year. Here's a guy who's come off IR and ready to play, and now people don't want him to play. Interesting. Because I don't think it's not the same situation with Matthew Stafford. Now, here's comes the text that says, if Matthew Stafford or Kerryon Johnson play any more games this season, that should be the final nail in the coffin for firing Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. It's Jeff in Utica. But why? Stafford, I get. He doesn't need to play. He needs to be as healthy as possible going into next year. Kerryon Johnson? I don't know. And Kerryon Johnson's not as impactful, not nearly as impactful as Matthew Stafford is. And Kerryon Johnson needs to show that he can play, that he's healthy. It wasn't like he was great this year to begin with. 3.5 yards a carry, 3.3 yards per carry this season. He was great last year, and then he got hurt. Look, I'm not going to fight anybody on a hill here. I understand. I understand both sides of it. For me, I side on the play him stance. I don't have a problem if they play him. I don't have a big problem, I guess. If he's healthy, show that you're healthy. Show that, and if you're Kerryon Johnson, you want to show that you're healthy because you don't want them to draft another running back. You want that gig. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Never in my life have I said this, but I hope that they play Kerryon again once he's healthy and he is once again hurt. I think that's the final straw for Martha, and she's going to pull the string on firing Quintisha. Could potentially cause a resignation from one or both of them as well, Justin, in an office. I don't see either Quinn or Patricia ever resigning. You don't see that. You don't see it often. And certainly not from a rookie head coach. You're not going to see it. Now, do we see that from Bobby Ross? Yeah, but Bobby Ross was a bit of a curmudgeon at the time and had threatened apparently several times to quit on the team and finally did. But not from a rookie head coach. He's not going to resign, and Bob Quinn's not going to resign. It's his first gig as a GM. That's just not going to happen. Playing Kerryon Johnson is perfect. Watch him blow out his knee. One way to get Patricia fired. Well, it seems to be a prevailing thought right now is that the best thing happens out of playing Kerryon Johnson is that he would get hurt, and that's the reason you fire Matt Patricia. You play Kerryon, and if he's ineffective or gets hurt again, you definitely know that you need to get a lead back somehow. Then you need to know this. Mike and Taylor. Well, I kind of agree with what everybody has to say. But again, if I had to pick my side, do I play him or did I not play him? If he's healthy, I play Kerryon Johnson. What would you do? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1 The Ticket.
Come back to the Carson Anderson program. Gator taking any calls at 248-539-9797. Doug will be back on Monday's show. We're talking about a bunch of different things today. A lot are kind of Lions involved here. The Glover Quinn comments from the Surf and Turf podcast, where he commented about Matt Patricia and his experience with Patricia and how he kind of came in a little hot, a little aggressive, and basically said that, look, trust me, believe me, I come from the Patriots and know what I'm doing, and tried to kind of reinvent what he wanted them to do. And Glover Quinn's take on it was kind of like, look, we were kind of fine where we were. Defense could build off that, and that's not what they were doing. That he wanted to kind of rebuild everything and rub guys the wrong way. I would imagine would definitely rub veteran players the wrong way. And after hearing him talk about it, when you're a rookie head coach and you come into a situation, you definitely want to get the respect of the players. But that's got to be earned. You can't just demand it and expect it as a rookie. Right? You don't have that track record. You were a defensive coordinator. You weren't a head coach before. You can't expect guys to follow you just because you say, follow me. That's got to be earned. That's why leadership is so important. But some people are on Team Patricia in this regard because they didn't like what Glover Quinn had to say, and Glover Quinn was in the last year of his career with the Lions anyway. And I imagine it was not a pleasant last year for Glover Quinn. I mean, his skills had eroded. He wasn't nearly as fast on the field. He lost at least a step. Wasn't as effective. And all that said, look, I like Glover Quinn a lot as a player. I thought he was a very productive player for the Lions up until that last season. But he was a leader on that team. He was well-respected among the players. And there is kind of a common theme as we're seeing from players talking about things or tweeting about things, whether the former players or current players. And that is, I don't think that this team likes Matt Patricia that much at all. At least the guys that were here before Patricia got here. And maybe that speaks to the culture of the team and why it needs to change in the first place. That things were maybe too easy or things were just a different path. And, you know, Glover Quinn talked about how it looked like that Jim Caldwell had changed the culture when he got here. But Patricia wanted to change it in another way. And I do think that Jim Caldwell changed the culture for the Lions in the positive way. I think in a very positive way. I just don't think he was very good as a head coach on Sundays. I always wished that if there was some way to keep Caldwell on board for that support, because I do think the players respected the hell out of him. But his decisions were head scratchers too many times where it was clear that he was in over his head. And now you got Matt Patricia comes in, you know, kind of like a bull in a china shop, coming in hot, wants things done his way. And I get that you want things done your way, but you got to treat people differently. And it just doesn't seem to work. His methods weren't working. They aren't working. The defense is worse, and I think he's got to go. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Also, looks like the Lions are probably going to activate Kerryon Johnson for next week's game. He'll be active for the last couple games. As we talk a lot on the station as a whole about tanking and the situation with Matthew Stafford and why on earth is he not on IR at this point, why they keep him activated even though he's not going to play. Why would they activate this time? Why would you bring back Kerryon Johnson? Why not let him just heal up completely, come back next season? Well, probably because he is healed up completely. And he's ready to go. If he were still hurt, I wouldn't play him. But if he's healthy and he's ready to go, he still has something to prove. Matthew Stafford's got nothing to prove. Kerryon Johnson's got something to prove. 3.3 yards a carry before he got hurt is nothing to write home about. And it's a far cry from what he was last year. So that's on the table. What do you think about the decision if they decide to activate Kerryon Johnson for the last couple weeks of the season as well? To the Carson Anderson inbox, you can text us as well at 97136. Hey, Scott, whoa, 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 and the Grover Quinn thing, how do you know Patricia didn't have him out of position and that's why he looked like he was so slow? I didn't know what he was doing or slow down in his age. Everybody knows the Patricia defense sucks. That's from Pete. Well, Pete, I think that if you watch the games and you would see players running down the sideline and Glover Quinn chasing them and not gaining any ground on him, you can make that leap that he had lost a step. I think he had definitely lost a step. And I like Glover Quinn a lot, but he wasn't the same. I appreciate Quinn's comments, but the decision isn't on the players. Like, it doesn't matter if you felt that you need an overhaul or not. If management and ownership made that decision, your job is to get on board. Patricia sounds like a complete D-bag, but this is football, and you have to play discipline and like it, and you have to put discipline in with the team. And I can see both sides the more that we talk about it. Yeah, I do see both sides, and I think that's the important thing, is everybody has to look at things from both sides, and then you make your decision. I look at it from both sides, and I think Matt Patricia has made too many mistakes as a head coach in his approach, let alone what the results are. The results are the number one thing that should get you fired. Now, why do you achieve the results you achieve? Probably because of your methods and your approach. Whether it's showing up late to meetings, whether it's coming in too aggressively and with too much arrogance about doing things your way, not selling yourself on the players enough. You know, it may be sad, but I think you have to do that. You've got to sell yourself on the team. You've got to sell yourself to the players. It is a sales job, because if they don't buy in, it ain't going to work. And I think that's sadly what we've seen with the Detroit Lions over the 2 years of Matt Patricia. Dakota is in Brighton. Dakota, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket.
What's up, Gator? I got a question before I go on my thing. So do you feel that if Stafford's ready to come back, would you want him on the field? If we go based on what's on the books, he's not on IR. If he was capable right now, would you want him back on the field?
I would not, because I think that he does, his injury is different, and it's one that apparently needs to heal up more.
I'm going to ask one more question, though, but does Matthew Stafford have a history with injuries like this, though?
All we know about is at the end of last year, it was reported that he was playing with broken bones in his back in the last game of the season, and that's enough for me to say he doesn't need to play the rest of this season.
I appreciate you, man, and I just feel like usually you're the voice of reason, but I think your opinion's pretty dog trash in terms of it kind of being a little hypocritical.
How so?
Kerryon Johnson. Well, Kerryon Johnson has a history of career injuries, and I understand that he has something to prove, but that's like saying we have a giant-sized hole in a ship, and I have some paper towel to cover it up here. If you're trying to prove something this season, it's for nothing. You've been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, so why every time you get on the field, there's a chance of getting injured? So why risk it for literally nothing?
Well, because of this, Dakota, I think that the positions are completely different. I think the running back position is, frankly, I think it's expendable. And I'll let you respond. If he's healthy, like completely healthy, play him. If he's not, don't. Stafford obviously isn't completely healthy.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. A running back, an asset's an asset, and he was drafted to be an asset. So why tarnish your assets by playing him in a game that don't matter? With the risk of injuring him even further to the point where he is not an asset for the next season.
What if there is no risk to getting him injured further from what he's at? If the doctors tell you, no, he's cleared to go, he's fine.
Was he cleared this year to play? He was cleared by a doctor then, and he still got injured. A doctor's word is a doctor's word, but a word can be broken. That doesn't matter.
So what do you want? You want to save him to get hurt? So you're saying he's injury prone, so you play him next year and he gets hurt next year?
Yeah, because it's meaningful at that point. Game one, you're not eliminated right off the bat. Game one, we're in game 15 or game 14, whatever. We're mathematically eliminated now. So, yeah, it doesn't make sense. I think you need to think with the realm of logic here.
Well, thanks for the insult there. I'm in the realm of logic, and believe it or not, I see both sides of it. And we do this on the show all the time. Where's your 51 at? My 51 when it comes to Kerryon Johnson is, go ahead and play him if he's ready to be played. If he's healthy, go ahead. If he wasn't, they wouldn't consider bringing him back.
if the guy's got a hitch in his giddy up, he ain't playing. And nor should he at this point. But if he's healthy, if he's cleared, which I assume that's the case, why not? It's not like this guy is the second coming of Ezekiel Elliott. He was averaging 3.3 yards a carry to start the year in the six games he played. That's 50 yards a game. Look, I got caught up in what he did last year for this team. It was awesome, and it was sad to see him get hurt last year. But he's not this integral part of the team like the quarterback is. I mean, I hate to put it in harsh terms like that, but that's it. And again, it wouldn't bother me if they said, you know what, Kerryon, we're going to put you on IR for the rest of the season. You're not going to play. That wouldn't bother me. I don't, it, no skin off my nose. But I don't think it's the end of the world if you decide to activate him. Now, with Stafford, I think it's a totally different story. And I've gone into the reasons for why. This is 97.1, The Ticket. But people are fired up by this Kerryon Johnson stuff, huh? Whether or not he plays. I think we're all in tank mode, and we're terrified that something's going to happen where the Lions win two or three of their last games here, and it's going to cost them draft position and cost them a player that everybody wants to have. And I understand that. Believe me, I understand it as much as everybody else does. I know what happened last year against the Packers. I remember that. And yet I'll maintain that even if the Lions didn't play Stafford in that game, the Lions still would have won. The way that everybody else was playing in that game, it was nothing but backups against backups, even though both starting quarterbacks played and started in that game. Lions were determined to win that game with Zach Zenner and crew. It wasn't like Stafford was the linchpin in that win, and yet that's a game that cost him. At Green Bay, they thumped Green Bay. Green Bay didn't even have a chance in that game. Like I said, I don't think it mattered if Stafford played or not. The Lions still would have won that game. And that's the game that ultimately cost him the chance at defensive end Josh Allen. And that's disappointing. And I get it. And we've seen it happen before time and time again where it's the difference of one slot in the draft makes all the difference in the world. And looking ahead to the 2020 draft, everybody wants a chance at Chase Young. In order to get that, the Lions can't afford to win another game. Here they are at 3-9-1 right now. Three games left in the season. They cannot afford to win that fourth game. I get it. I totally get it. I just don't think that Kerryon Johnson's the difference in the game that'll cost the Lions that. Now, some people are saying it's about draft positioning. That's why they don't want to play. Other people are saying it's about his health. And if his knee's banged up, why risk him for more injury? And that I totally get. And if that's the case, if he could hurt that knee more, don't play. I understand that. But I'm guessing that the doctors clear him and say otherwise. That, you know, your knee is completely healed up again. You're 100%. Now you got to just get into game shape. And when you're ready to go in game shape, they'll play you. If that's not the case, then they're being stupid. But if you got a guy who's completely healthy on your roster, and he's not the difference in the game like the quarterback Stafford would be, I don't have an issue with them playing him. I also don't have an issue with them if they don't play him, but my 51 says play him. Not a big deal. 248-539-9797. Joe is in Oak Park. Joe, welcome. 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Gator. Listen, I got to beat up on you too like that last caller, man. Look, it's three games left. The guy is young in his second year. Why even risk it? Hopefully in the future he's a big part of the thing with the running game, because I know he's not the quarterback, but a running back is just like a 1A. He helps the quarterback balance the offense out, and this guy has potential. Yeah, he's 3.3 this year and all of that. Why risk it? The other thing, I'm going to continue to push back against you and your buddy over there that continuously criticize Caldwell's game day coaching management. Man, I go by the records. Now, you guys can give an opinion on how he uses timeouts and all that, but at the end of the day, the guy was 36-28. Mm-hmm. No playoff wins, I get that. But, you know, it's just like you, it seems to me you minimize a lot of his accomplishments. And I just have to push back against that, you know?
That's
and
fair. I understand. Joe, I understand. Let me say this. I give Jim Caldwell a lot of respect and a lot of props for many things, and the record is one of them. However, when I look at him and saw the mistakes made, I think he had a ceiling. And I equate that a lot to when the
the Red Wings were doing well with Brian Murray as the head coach. He could get a lot of points. Great, but they didn't do much in the playoffs. They needed something else. Somebody better was out there. Hang on. Scotty Bowman was available. They went out, and everything changed. The Pistons under Rick Carlisle, they got to a plateau. They got to a point, and Rick also had an issue with some of his players, but that was a pretty good basketball team when Rick Carlisle was there. They decided to fire him and move on and then bring in Larry Brown and win the championship. The issue with that I had with the Lions when they fired Caldwell, and now it's 2 years later, is that the guy, I didn't have a problem with them getting rid of Caldwell. Get somebody better. The guy they got isn't better. That's the problem.
But my only other thing with that, though, too, that I would disagree with that, and we're both on the same page about Patricia. That was the whole thing about with me, and I've said this before, with Quinn, though, because Quinn was a first-time GM himself. He's a former scout. Then you got a first-time defensive coordinator who's a coach, and all this youthful inexperience, and like you were alluding to some of these points earlier, and it probably is bubbling over with some of these players like Diggs and what have you. They're not having it, and it's like, oh, it's my way, the New England way, or hit the highway kind of thing. Even the most, you know, casual fan can see that there's some stuff going on with that there. But, you know, I go back, I'm old enough to remember, Gator, my cousin played with the 49ers back in the 80s, Keena Turner. I watched this guy get 4 rings. I was actually at the game when he made the catch at Candlestick, and, man, it was awesome too, by the way. So, but I just go back, I've seen this, like, we're going to do it the 49ers way, the New England way, and it's just, Lions, oh my God. Oh, Gator. We need prayer, man.
Well, it would be nice if they had Belichick. You know what I'm saying, Joe? But nobody's been able to, and thanks for the call. Nobody's been successful in hiring a coach from the Belichick tree. Not at the pro level. That hasn't happened. And because nobody's Bill Belichick. And it was interesting watching the Belichick and Saban documentary they had on HBO this week. And, you know, those guys talking about their careers and how they coached together in Cleveland. Nick Saban was his defensive coordinator at Cleveland, and they had some pretty good defenses there with the Browns under Belichick. Saban went on to the college ranks, and of course, he's been the best college coach maybe in history. Belichick goes on to the Patriots and becomes maybe the best head coach in NFL history. But the coaching trees are different. And you have to ask yourself, okay, at some point, is it the assistants that are learning from Bill Belichick, or is it just Bill Belichick? Because Bill Belichick seems like the guy who is ever evolving. There's not a Patriot. I don't think there's a Patriot way. I think there's a Belichick way, and you can't define it because it's dynamic. It changes all the time. He adapts. He overcomes. He comes up with different game plans and schemes. He's always looking for the next thing. And Saban's kind of the same way. And those guys fed off each other. If you watch the documentary, is fascinating to watch. But I think the real magic with the Patriot way is Bill Belichick. And it's also getting Tom Brady. And you have to have some talent around you as well. And the Patriots, still, they're a 10-win team right now. And yet, I don't know how many people would say that's a really, really good Patriot team. It's hard to count them out given their history of winning, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Patriots this year. I think Tom Brady is definitely on the decline. It's no shock that he's on the decline in his career. The question is he still going to be an above average quarterback for much longer? Because he's ranked 22nd in the league right now in quarterback rating. 22nd. He's gone down significantly. It's not to say that he can't win again, but I wouldn't bet on him. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Gary is on a cell phone. Gary, welcome to 97 on the Ticket.
Hey, Gator, how's it going, man?
All right, Gary, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to comment, and actually it was funny, the last caller kind of said the same thing about Kerryon. My only point, and this is, I mean, my opinion, he's been injured. He had injury issues last year. He had injury issues this year. So by not playing him, if they are looking to unload him at some point, they don't really know what they have, and everyone else in the league sees that he just has been injury prone. So bringing him back, having him play a few games, at least it gives everyone a somewhat of an opportunity to see what he can do post injury. And if they want to trade him or they want to let him walk away, whatever, they want to cut him, at least then they know, or at least have a better idea of what they're getting rather than just waiting till next year and seeing what happens.
Yeah. I mean, the situation was the same thing with Stafford. Okay. Let's say that Stafford had an injury that he could totally recover from and get ready to play at the end of the season.
as opposed to the injury that he reportedly has right now, which is a debilitating injury and one that he would have to play through. I mean, would you feel differently? And I guess at that point, it's all about the draft, and you don't want to jeopardize your draft positioning. But it's a different position. Stafford's absolutely the difference maker with the Lions, whether they win or they lose, if he's playing in the game. There's no questioning that. If your options are Stafford or Blau, your chances go up exponentially with Stafford at the quarterback. If your chances at running back are both Scarborough or Kerryon Johnson, I mean, you can't tell me that there's much of a difference based on what Kerryon Johnson has done. And when you pair that with David Blau, you're not giving his team some extraordinary advantage where all of a sudden now you're like, yep, we got this game against the Buccaneers. We'll finish off against the Bucs. We'll finish off against Denver. And then last game of the year against Green Bay, we got this. We're going to finish strong because of Kerryon's back. I just don't see that.
No, and I think that the big – and you caught on the point about Stafford. But the big difference is that I think it's very, very clear that Stafford's not going anywhere. Martha and the Fords, they don't want to get rid of him. They're not going to trade him. He doesn't want to go out.
Well,
so he's around. So there's zero benefit. Even if he was fully healthy, there's zero benefit to carting him out there.
Yeah, and frankly, thanks for the call, Gary. Frankly, if you're going to tell me Stafford's going to play the next 3 years like he played this year, why would you get rid of him? Why would you? Now, I gave up on him last year after the Seattle game. I'd had enough. But it's amazing the difference that a year makes and how much better he was this year. Quarterback rating of 106. I mean, that's leaps and bounds better than he's ever been in his career. He really flourishes under this offense, and he looks good in it. And then he got hurt. And he got hurt, and it was no fault of his own. It was all his, I should say, it's solely his fault. He's the one who left the pocket. He's the one that took on the linebacker head on and just got drilled in the Oakland game. It was on him. That's not the coach putting him in that position. That's Matthew Stafford deciding he's competitive, he was going to go run, and boom, he got smashed and everything changed.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.